Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. We will read the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 19 as our first anchor scripture. All right, let's read. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Last verse. Saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Our second reading, Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 to 24. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun with you, as man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar and the priests. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded him. Just as the Lord commanded by hands of Moses. Last week, we are all reading together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Can we read together? Let's go. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Can I ask you to stretch your hand on me and pray for me for 1 minute? That strength will be released. The ability to speak his word. Father, pray for your strength and your grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lo vela bada basaya. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. All right, let's move straight into the word of God. Today we want to look at how to catch the anointing. And this will be the first part of it. So, for some weeks now, let me say about a month and a week, we started looking at catch the anointing as a sub-series. And I established that the principles of catching the anointing means that man is an integral part of our ability to catch the anointing. So we started looking at the role of man in catching the anointing. But before we come into this point, we decided to look at certain things that are necessary to lay the foundation for us to be able to catch the anointing. We dealt with the callings of God and anointing, the gifts of God and anointing, and the things that we need to walk in the anointing if we are able to even catch it, which is the prerequisite or systems we need to be able to walk in the anointing. Today, I want to speak to you on how to catch the anointing. It's very important. Hallelujah. Now, Before I move into how to catch the anointing, I want to share something very important with you. And if you agree to, with what I'm going to share with you, then you are ready to catch the anointing. That is, one of the principles that governs kingdom living is that we depend on God, one. We interdepend on each other, and absolute independence from the devil. Follow me. This is a kingdom principles. One of the principles that govern our kingdom living, we live the kingdom life, right? Is that we depend, absolute dependency on God. We interdepend on one another, and we are absolute independent from the devil. Therefore, anyone who lives the kingdom life, as Paul instructed in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he said that I do not live anymore. If anybody confesses that scripture, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, and but the life in me is the life of Christ, that is a kingdom life. Are you following me? Such a person must of all understanding establish the fact that the kingdom living is a life dependent on God, interdependent on one another, and absolute independence from the devil. Do we all agree? Do we all agree? Good. So what does these three things mean when I say that the kingdom life, and how does it connect to catching the anointing? Follow me. If we believe that our kingdom life is an absolute dependence on God, what do we mean? We mean that without God, we can do nothing. That means that we are incapacitated as far as kingdom life is concerned, and we are absolutely depending on God. John chapter 15 verse 5. John chapter 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's a principle that governs kingdom life. If you have any other life you are living, this does not apply to you. This does not apply to you. It's a principle that governs kingdom life, kingdom living. The life that you live, that it is not Christ that lives, it's Christ that lives, but not you that lives. Says that without him, you can do what? Nothing. Now, let me further explain. Now, there is a natural expression of this very scripture that God gives us as a way to what? Inform us and every living being that we can do nothing with him. And that natural act is that we sleep and we wake up not because of our will. Please, can you tell me the exact time you decided to sleep today that you slept? Can you tell me the time? And can you tell me the exact time that you woke up? It tells you that there's somebody who is in charge and controls affairs somewhere. We depend on that person. So yesterday we slept with some people, but I can guarantee that we didn't wake up with some of them. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. So this absolute dependency on God has even a natural expression. And in fact, those of us who have accepted to live the life in reflection of the kingdom believes that we absolutely depend on God. Now, in context, absolute dependence, so that it doesn't become so much huge into you, because I said the kingdom life, it means that we cannot be who God made us to be without him. Our destiny ordination can never come into place. So our absolute dependence on God, which says that without me you can do nothing, means that without God, our destiny ordination can never ever materialize. So if God gave you a destiny ordination and you think that you can achieve it without him, then you are lying to yourself. Therefore, it is therefore wise, are you listening to me, to fully depend on him to guide us in our life. Now, on the second thing that established the principle of absolute dependence, as I was talking about, is that every man, born again or not born again, will one day account of the life they have. And if we are going to account for the life we are being given, okay, let's take a scripture. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Let's read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. And as it is appointed, do you know appointment? Have you ever received an appointment before? Is anyone who has received an appointment before? Oh, Have you received an appointment before? Okay, if you have never received an appointment before, I can guarantee that there's already an appointment waiting you. So don't worry. It is appointed to what? Die once. As for that appointment, you shall receive it. Oh, it looks like you don't like it. But I'm telling you the truth. Are you with me? I said, if you have never received any appointment in your life before, I give you an appointment that you will never escape. It is appointed unto man that he what? Die once, not twice. After that, what? Judgment. So in the book of Romans chapter 14 verse 12, the Bible says that each one shall account. Let's read. Romans 14, 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself unto God. Why do I say that this very thing of accountability compels every man to absolutely depend on God? Now that we are all students and scholars, we can easily relate to what I'm about to say. Maybe it might not be in only my university, but let me find out from you. Have you heard of handouts before? Have you heard of handouts? Good. Have you ever met a lecturer that it doesn't matter what you write, if it's not coming from his handouts, you are going to get a zero? Let me see my hands. Those who have met those lecturers before. Okay, so it's not in my university. Prof, is it also in the law school? The content, you see, the reason for we sticking to the syllabus and buying handouts and studying the materials and the lecture notes our lecturers give us is because of accountability, which says that it is what they want you to give them, tell them, is what they are going to hear. It's not what you think. It's very foolish of any man to think that they have a different pamphlet and handout that they are going to use to answer to God on the day of accountability. Exams is all about accountability, two of us. That's what exams is. So, the absolute dependency on God is that we want to depend on him, on his handout. Chew and pour it for him. So that when he comes and he wants to mark us, we'll get it right. So, even beyond kingdom living, because of the responsibility placed on us to be accountable, it is important that we depend on God, absolutely. Because he has the marking scheme. You can't do anything about that. In fact, when is that marking? Who are you going to protest to? Eli said that if a man has an issue with a man, there is a God who will come and settle the affairs. But if a man has issue with God, who will speak sound for you? So it's dangerous. Number two. So you see that Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6 say that commit all your ways into the hands of the Lord, acknowledge him in your path, and paraphrasing. And then he will guide you. Do not lean on your own heart. Understanding. It's because of this. So kingdom living states that we are absolutely or dependent on God. The second one says that we are interdependent on one another. Now, every kingdom minded person knows that he or she cannot have all of God. Hence, he or she need others to complement or complete them. This is why God created us as social beings. And our social being was established in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Follow me. None of us have the fullness of God. You can't have everything of God in you. God is too big for you alone to have him in full. I mean his expressions and everything. So he created us as social beings so that there is part of him. We know in part. We hear in part. There is part of him over here so that when we come together, we complement each other and we complete the cycle. And that's why God created us as social being. And the definition of a social being is that thou shalt not be what? Alone. Let's read. Let's read the scripture. Genesis 2:18. And God said, it is not good. Let's read together. And God did what? Said, it is not good that man should be alone. Now, the word man, if you study scripture very well, it's a genetic word that stands for both male and female. But this scripture, because Adam was the first in action, the first to come out, Adam took up that title, man. But the word man is a generic word. So we can also interpret this scripture that it is not good for both male and female to be alone. Why? Because he created them to be social beings, to interdependent or not each other. So this is where a social life started. Adam was not left to be alone. Because we cannot be alone, which means we cannot on our own accomplish God's will alone on earth, God from the very beginning of creation instituted or established family through the institution of what? Marriage. So if you look at God's model, family was the first institution. Marriage was the first institution, then followed up by what? The church, to establish the principle of what? Family. That's why God is a God of family. In other words, every kingdom-minded person is also family-oriented. Those of you don't belong to any church, don't belong to anybody, you are lying. You are not living a kingdom life. It's a lie. A kingdom life believes that we are interdependent on what? Each other. And that is the principle of family orientation. That's where you belong. Now say that we are not spiritual vagabonds. I am connected. I am what? Planted. So the planted and connected establish us as a social being. Because God knows that you need others. I need you. You need me. There is some of God in you that I need, and some of God in me that you also what? Need. Good. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 to 12 give a clarity to this very concept I'm talking about. Follow me. I said I want to, I'm explaining the kingdom principle. Dependence on God, interdependent on what? One another. And then the last one. Two are better than what? One. But people say there are two good heads. But please, the Bible said two are better than one. So let's stick to what the Bible said, okay? Because they have a good reward for their what? Their labor. Let's continue. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. This scripture is used most of the times at weddings. But woe to him. Say woe to him. Who is alone? For you hear? When he falls, for he has no one to what? Keep him what? Up. Then the next one is where the marriage couple. Let's do that one. Again, if two lie down together, they would keep warm. You see the weather in Ghana now. Okay? Yes. So you cannot keep yourself warm. You don't have that capacity to do that. Your blankets are dried, but it didn't work. When you marry, you understand. If you like, ask Edda Martin. But how can one be warm alone? They said, what I'm like. You ask Edda Martin and find out if. Okay. Now he's feeling the weather. So you can ask Prophet Jericho. Prophet Jericho is not feeling the weather. Because he's not alone. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly what? Broken. This is the principle of social being. We are interdependent on each other. So if a demon overpowered one person, by two, we can what? We can withstand. This is where the issue of family. So people say that I don't belong to any church. Me, I'm alone. I pray alone. I do alone. You're lying. You're not living a kingdom life. It's not true. It's never true. Third one. Interdependent from the devil. We are to seek a complete independency from the devil because he has nothing to offer us, but will take everything from us. If we have anything with us, he will take everything. The devil does not offer us anything, but he takes what? Everything. John chapter 10, verse 10. The reason why every human being must seek independence from the devil is that he has nothing to offer you, but he takes everything from you. Now, how do we take things from people? Let me show you three ways you take things from people. If somebody wants to take something from you, number one, the thief. The person must be a thief. Amen? Now, let's see how thieves, they work. The thief does not come except to what? Steal your joy. Steal your talent. Steal everything. And they have mechanisms to steal. And you know, the thieves. Have you ever read this book? Those days, you people, the Gen Z children, you know. But there's a book called The Confidence Tricks that it was in one of the books we read. Those old comprehension books. I think Prophet Jericho will be the best person to remember because it was their generation. Have you remember that English book? I think it was a JHS one those days. The Confidence Trickster, it was page one, the first book. You see how people are so smart. Hello, New London. Have you received that call before? Now they have come with a different format. They'll call you and tell that your son or your daughter or somebody is admitted at the hospital. And the doctor said they met the person and they took the person to the hospital. The doctor is here to talk to you. And that the doctor said you have to make some deposit to take care of the person. If you call me, I'll sell the health insurance details of the person. When they call, tell them the health insurance details I have, so we'll send you the health insurance details so that you pay through health insurance. Hallelujah. So the devil, this is what he does. He comes to what? Steal. Through all forms, deception, anyway. Then number two, if he's done stealing and that is not enough, all he does, he kills. Now, the killing here is not only physical killing, but there are many things the devil can kill in you. Many things. Then the third one is what? Final one, to destroy. Destroy. So you must run away from such a, you have to be totally independent from such a person. Don't you agree? Such a person, all that he is coming to do is to do these three things to you. He's a thief. So thieves, they steal, they kill, and they destroy. So it is not only when you take somebody's thing that we tell you that you're a thief. If you destroy it, you're also what? A thief. If you destroy somebody's relationship, you're a thief. If you destroy somebody's business, you're a thief. Am I the one who said it? Is it not the Bible? The thief. Definite. Not a thief. There. So that's the devil. So if you want to become if you want to see the devil in your life, just watch these three things. When you are becoming the devil, and we will know. Lucifer, get behind. So the moment you see somebody doing this thing in your life, you can call the person Lucifer, get behind. Okay? As Jesus said. Hallelujah. Such a person, we need to what? Do everything possible to be completely independent from him. Now, if you have this three understanding of kingdom living, then you are going to now help me to walk into how the anointing is very crucial to the kingdom life. Now, let's go. Therefore, if any of us seek to live the kingdom life, then that person must do so with the understanding, with this understanding. And if we do so, then our absolute dependency on God will not exclude our dependency on his power. See, most times we used to deceive ourselves. I depend on you, but you are using other means to do things. If we agree that these three things defines our kingdom living, that we depend on God, interdepend on each other, and independent from the devil, then our dependency on God should not exclude the power of God. Zechariah chapter 4, the verse 6. Let me establish that. Anything that we want to achieve in life, as far as we want to do so by kingdom living, cannot be done outside the power of God. If we believe so, that the kingdom living is absolute dependence on God. And that is what Zechariah said. So he answered and said to me, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Good. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of what? Host. So the prophet was telling the king, or the ruler then of Israel, that God says that what I want to do, it has nothing to do with your might. If you want, it's not the might. Whatever I'm doing with Zerubbabel has nothing to do with what? His might. The people of Israel here, it has nothing to do with his might, nor his power, but it is my spirit, the Holy Spirit. Then he continued to the verse 7. Listen to what he said. What are thou, O mountain? He said, who are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Continue. Now, he's telling you what is happening. So, a mountain was nothing before Zerubbabel, not because he's mighty, but the Spirit of God. Absolute dependency. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. And this is what it is. A person who absolutely depends on God and falls on God's power, whatever the hands touch, Let's continue. His hand shall also finish it. Oh, Jesus. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. I pray for you. See, the reason why we have to cast the anointing, which is the power of God, is that if by that power of God we start something, no one can stop it until we end it. Who told you that you're not going to complete your education? Who told you that your marriage is going to fail? And who is telling that your business is not going to work out? I am here to tell that a life of kingdom, living a kingdom life, established that we absolutely dependent on God. And what is of God and our dependency, which is of God, when the power of God is at work, that hands that is laying the foundation may be Zerubbabel, but it is not Zerubbabel, because not by might. That's why you need the power of God. You need anointing. And that's why you have to cast the anointing. See, that hands that laid the foundation. See, if that's why when you see things happening, you just laugh. Because it is against the order of scriptures that if the source of whatever I'm doing is God's power, it will fail. It's against scriptures. It's against scriptures. So Moses said, these Egyptians you see today, you shall see them not, because it was not Moses who initiated the fight. It is God, and he completed the fight. Anything that God has initiated in your life, take yourself out of the equation now. Your life will never be a failure. I said, your life will never be a failure. Because it is not by our might. It's never by our power. But our spirit says is the Lord. And that hand that has started this, oh, shall accomplish it. That hand that has started it shall accomplish it. I walk with this conviction whenever I'm doing something. When God asks me to do this and I start, I know it will end well. So Paul said in the book of Philippians, said, for we are confident of this very thing. Philippians 1:6. That he that has started these good works in you shall bring you to a perfect end. That's why anybody who is fighting you doesn't know he's fighting God. He thinks that it is you who started it. That's why they may think that because they don't see the invisible hands behind it. They only see the hands of Zerubbabel, but they don't know that it is God whose invisible hands working through God, Zerubbabel. So, the kingdom living is that we absolutely depend on God, and his power is not exclusive. So therefore, if we depend on the power of God, then we must be ready to make the confessions of what? Zerubbabel. So the question is, how do we assess this power? Are you with me? Now, the source of God's power is the Holy Spirit. But access to the power has to come through a man in a seed form called impartation. So the power of God is transferred or is accessible through human vessel under the definition of what? Impartation. So when we say it's not by might, it's not by power, by the Spirit of God. That power of God we are talking about, it is the source comes from God, but accessibility is through human vessels. And they come in a form of impartation. So the Bible says you shall receive power in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But if you go into the book of Acts chapter 19 verse 6, you saw that some people received that power, which is the coming of the Holy Ghost, because Paul laid hands. And in the first reading that we made, we saw that the people has received Christ, but power was not given unto them because the Holy Ghost has not come. And the apostles must be sent so that they can get access to that power. So even though God is the source of the power, we cannot take out man from the equation. Because they have to send Peter and John. And they went and laid hands before Holy Ghost, the power came upon them. So it's an absolute lie to think that you can see the power of God without the human vessels. Therefore, the pathway, write this down, to access the anointing begins with the Holy Spirit as the source. The pathway to access the anointing, the power of God, begins with the Holy Spirit as the source. Man as the reference point of transmission and expression. So it begins with the Holy Spirit as the source, but man is the reference point of transmission and what? Expression. And finally, impartation as the mechanism of releasing the potential in a seed form. Should I take it again? The pathway to access the anointing begins with the Holy Spirit as the source of the anointing. Comma. Man as the reference point of transmission and expression of that anointing. And finally, impartation as the mechanism of releasing the potentials of that anointing into another person. So, the anointing is tapped from source. Do you get it? It's already operating from source. Man is the expression and then the transmission. Then the way it gets to you is what we call impartation. The impartation is a mechanism to release the potentials of that anointing to you. So if you want to give a practical example, we can talk about how we get hold of what? Electricity power. VRA, I believe, or Volta River Authority, right? They are the source of the power. Then ECG is the what? Transmitter of power and the expressions of it. Do you get it? So when ECG takes it, then when it comes, the impartation is the cables, the transformers, and all those things that gets the power to your house. So if you want power, you must go through these three parts. There must the source, the transmitter, and the mechanism of what? Getting hold of it. Now, then, how do we catch the anointing? From this pathway that I've defined over here, we can see that man is the one who transmits the anointing to you. However, this transmission can only be successful when man is first a storage point or carrier of the anointing. Now, have you heard of substations and bulk units of the ECG? When power is produced, they have substations and places that they store the power for transmission. Do you know that? Hello? Oh, you did a little of electricity, right? Do you know capacitor have you heard of a capacitor in a can I get any electrical component here? Something to give an expression to what I'm talking about. Now, you see this extension board over here. Should we open it? You see, it is transmitting power to this place. Is that not it? If you open this extension board, you will find out that there's something called a capacitor inside it, which receives the power and then is able to what? Transfer it. Why? Because you cannot give what you don't have. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. You cannot give what you don't have. So first, it is received. Let's see. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. So he couldn't give him. But what I do have, I give you. So even though man is the transmitter of God's power, he's first of all the carrier, the storage place. So, because man, to be able to transfer or transmit the power, the anointing of God to another person, must first become a point of storage. You find out that when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, he came in his full power. Everything of him, every expressions of the Holy Ghost anointing came that day, but it came to dwell on men, to have them as a point of what? Storage, and to be transmitted. So if you are here and you think that the Holy Ghost will create a new anointing and then it will be on you alone, you are lying. It will never happen. Because man is the storage and the transmitter. When the Holy Ghost came, he brought everything. He came fully. Then he rested all his expressions of power, anointing on men. So in the book of 1 Corinthians, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, there's an excellency of God that are resting on what? Earthen vessels. you find that scripture for me? The Bible said that the excellency of God is being expressed. Said there are treasures of God in earthen vessels. And the reason being that man first must become the carrier, the storage point before he can transmit. So every expression of God's anointing, okay, is upon somebody. Yes, that is how it works. Then they can now be able to what? Transmit. So if you are here, that's what man, the reason I'm saying, because you understand that there's a role man plays for access of power. You cannot beat it. Everything pertaining to life, as 2 Peter has said, 1 verse 3, he has given us all things pertaining to what? Life and godliness. It has come down. It is here, resting on earthen vessels. Yes. 2 Peter 4 verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of what? God and not of us. These individuals who carries the various expressions of the anointing begins to live and express them. For others who need to recognize what they need in their life as the empowerment of God to begin to what? See and assess them. So the reason why God first of all rests his anointing on somebody is for the person to express it. Then those who have need of that expression, the empowerment of God, they will see it and then they'll do what? Go close to it and they can be able to what? Assess it. Therefore, what is catch the anointing? Catch the anointing simply means the ability to receive the empowerment of God that is working on the life of some people or is working in the life of somebody and you walking in them is the definition of catch the anointing. That's all. So when we are able to receive that empowerment of God working in the life of somebody, then we are able to work it out and walk in it, then it means that we have what? Caught and are not an anointing. So, you see that there is an empowerment of God working on the life of the prophet of God. He stands here. He's be able to speak the mind of God in word of knowledge, in word of wisdom, in descending of spirit. He's able to pick up sensitive informations and deal with them. Then you see it. Then you say, I like it. I need this power because I want to also have control over these elements and this system. When that desire comes, God will now make him a transmitter. Then now that power can be transmitted through impartation. And impartation means receiving in a seed form. Potential. That's why I said potential. So it will come to you in a what? A seed form. That is when you have caught an anointing. In fact, that is when you have already you are in the process of catching anointing. Now, when you begin to walk in it, that means you have what? You've caught it. So now you know how to catch an anointing, right? Do you understand it? That there is any expression of God's power. If you want to raise dead, there are people raising dead. You have to find them. If you want creative miracles, there are people on earth here. Don't be deceived that there are no miracles anywhere. You have not seen it. There are mighty miracles going on day in, day out through the hands of people because God is still in miracle business. There are people who are so wealthy, like God has blessed them so much financially by the power of God. And they are doing well. They are teachers of the word. They are prophets of the word. They are apostles of God. They are all there. Operating, there are dimensions of expressions in anointing, healing, deliverance. You see it. If you find somebody and then you just notice that the person is expressing it, yes, God is making you to know that this person can transmit. This person cannot transmit. Hallelujah. Now, how do we catch this anointing? If we have noticed somebody and we want to assess this, how do we go about it? Now, in our first reading, we realized that Simon the sorcerer saw something of that sort. That men from Jerusalem came and they begin to put their hands on some people and the people begin to speak in another tongues and the Holy Spirit filled him. He, as a sorcerer, you know, sorcerers are the corrupt expressions of the prophetic. Do you know that? A sorcerer is the one who can operate in the word of knowledge using a wrong router. So a sorcerer can read your palm. A sorcerer can see you and say things about your past and be accurate. And remember, we spoke about the grace, what? Gifts. That people are already born with them. Do you remember that part? So that sorcerer may have this as part of the grace gifts, but the devil corrupts it. So when he saw that there's another dimension, he said, okay, let me what? Get access. So he said, okay, let me pay them. Then they can give me access. But Peter said, your money perish with you. It's a wrong way to try to access the anointing. It's a wrong way to catch the anointing. So Simon was told that he will perish with his money. So if it's not the right way, then what are the ways that we can, Simon could have accessed the anointing? Or what are the ways we can catch an anointing? Let me tell you, the next phase of your life is determined by the power and ability you have. And it's the anointing that will tell. Number one, true service. If you want to catch an anointing, you have to serve that anointing. In the very words of Apostle Joseph Minta, the anointing you serve is the anointing that rests upon you. Many of our generation or people in our generation will never be anointed because they don't understand that is the anointing you serve is the anointing that rests upon you. You see, in the kingdom, there are two kinds of service we render. We serve God and we serve men. When you are serving men, there are two kinds of men that you serve. Those that you are serving with because you are anointed, and those you serve because you want anointing. If you don't serve anybody, there are certain dimensions of anointing you will never have them. Because in God's wisdom, they are transmitters. The only way that transmitter will open up for you to connect is you serve it. It's a problem in our generation. Anything, see? Okay, let me not say much. But you see, if there's a dimension of God you are desiring in a man, you've seen it upon the life of somebody. One of the common and the sure way to tap that anointing is serve that anointing. Go to the person, ask the person, what can I do for you? There's this story of Apostle Joseph Suleiman. He himself has shared over and over that he personally went into the house of Archbishop Benson Dausa to become a security man, and he served in the man's house as a security man, and he has made reference upon reference that the oppressions of the anointing, when it comes to the supernatural that is operating on his life, is because he caught it from serving Archbishop Benson in Dausa. And he made it clear that there were people who were walking with him, but they were not serving him. So they didn't catch anything. Let me give you three people in the Bible who served an anointing and they caught the anointing. The first person is Joshua. In Exodus chapter 33 verse 11, the Bible established that Joshua was the servant of Moses, not God. And I read it, I said, wow. Let's read. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as man speaks to his servant, to his friend, sorry. And he would return to the camp, but his what? Do you hear? His what? Servant. He didn't say the servant of God. Some identity we have to put on in our walk with God is that we can be seen as people who have served an anointing before. So if I ask you, yeah, whose anointing are you serving? Can you mention it? Well, if there's an anointing on my life and you serve by the principles of scripture, that anointing should open up to you. So you see that in Numbers 27 that we read, because Joshua served the anointing, God instructed Moses, said,
lay your hands on him, that the honor upon you may come upon him. Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Say, God told Moses that Moses, you see, Joshua didn't ask for it too. And it obviously, I don't think that Moses had any plans. Moses had any plans of transferring or imparting at that time. But because the young man accepted the anointing, oh, he was compelled by God, Moses. Whatever. And the Lord said to Moses, do you hear? Who says so? The Lord. Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands on him. Now, next verse. What did he say? That ought to happen. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. The next verse. Listen to what God said. And you shall give some of your authority. I said, any anointing you serve, but it will come on you. When you serve it faithfully. When you serve it faithfully. If you want to catch an anointing, serve the anointing. Let nobody lie to you. You are being a fool. Yeah, no, it's a lie. How many of you know Emmy Newman? Have you heard of his name before? You know Jumetil served him? Jumetil served, yes. You think what is operating his life is because he's gifted? No. How many of you have heard of Nathan Ebasi? He served Papa Deboye for 12 years in the church, wherever he goes. Even till today, he's still serving him. You see, he's also global. You can't serve an anointing and it will not rub on you. Yes. What you serve comes on you. Number two. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, the Bible said, the spirit of wisdom was upon Joshua, and the people respect and obeyed him because they saw that spirit also operating in who? Moses. Serve. If you don't know how to serve a man of God, go and do the research yourself. I'm not going to tell you. But if you see an anointing and you want to serve that anointing, help lessen the burden of that anointed person. Be at the beck and call of that person. The person should be able, when you say you are serving something, the person can count on you. At every given time, the person can call you and you'll be there. That is what you're saying, anointing. So serve. If you want that anointing, the anointing you serve will come on you. Let me give you a last reading. Because of time. Samuel also went through the same thing. Samuel served Eli and ended up as a judge. Because Eli was also a judge. You let's read that scripture. Let's read. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 11. We saw that Samuel served in the presence of God, but with Eli. Let's read. Good. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the child ministered to the Lord before Eli. Do you understand how? Before. So in the presence of Eli, he ministered unto the Lord. So he was assisting, helping Eli to deliver his job. Now let's go into the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 4, verse 18. Let's listen to something about it. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18. Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward, but the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. For the man was old and heavy. And he had judged, listen, what did he do? He had what? Judged Israel for what? 40 years. Let's go the same Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15. Let's see what the Bible said about Samuel. 15:7. 1 Samuel 15:7. Sorry, 7:15. 1 Samuel 7 verse 15. And Samuel also did what? Together. Samuel also did what? All the days of his what? Do you know that 40 stands for maturity? The number 40 stands for maturity. That means that a full life, a full cycle. So, if yes, 40 stands for full cycle. So, what happened? Eli judged 40 years, standing for a full cycle. What happened to Samuel? The same thing. When you serve an anointing,
I hope you already know the story of Elisha, don't you? Don't you know the story of Elisha? In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. That is when Elisha received the mantle thrown on him and he came to serve the oil. So you see, even though he received the calling, he has to serve the calling, serve the anointing to get it. Now, by the time we get to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3 to 15, the people said the spirit of Elijah is upon what? Elisha. Serve. I don't know which kind of generation we are entering into. How many of you who ever called and said, oh, prophet of God, now you know that now he is handling our school missions. Do I need to tell you that, oh, follow him? Also, for how many years did you follow Daddy Joe? Yes. When we came to this ministry, my brother here, oh, goodness God, don't know. The anointings operating on our life didn't come because we fasted and prayed. We served those anointings. And we are still serving. Because I'm just coming from a field of service. And I'll go again. Latest by Tuesday on the way to do the job. I've made it a point that I will always be available at any time that he calls me. I've made it a point that no matter what, I will do everything within my capacity to make sure that he's not alone. He doesn't carry the burden alone. And you think that his anointing will not come on me? God will compel him to impart me, as Moses was told to impart Joshua. And we will catch the anointing. In Kumasi, most of the ministration that he did was with Prophet Jericho. Was with him, going up and down. This man, his father has left him. He's in UK, Pastor Tio. Those days, he was in Accra. Anytime Pastor Tio come, you call him. You follow Pastor Song. We follow Pastor Richardson. And then we ended up with Pastor Collins. That's when they were 3 years condemned. Oh, 3 years condemned, man. And he's still 3 years condemned. He has not stopped. Serve. You have to go to him. Those days, we will call, Papa, are you not going to any school this week? It's not that they give us money. Please, have you received transport before? Our own money. We will follow them. And you know what we do? We carry books. When you follow purpose, you also want to be doing counseling on the other side. We know our own is to sell books. No matter what we know, our job is to what? Do this. That is all we do. Today, we've caught something. Serve. It's not by force. But if you want an anointing, one way to get it is to serve. If you don't want that anointing, don't serve. So if you want to be on... But the Bible said that let your head not lack oil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 9 said, let your garment be pure and let your head not... So if you are here and your head lacks oil, we are a suspect that you don't serve. Number 2. Identifying with the anointing. Very important. One way to catch an anointing is to identify with the anointing. Are you being blessed? So don't tell me that you can't be anointed. You know how to catch an anointing. Now you have seen it. Go and practice it. Hallelujah. To identify with an anointing simply means you have a sense of connection, similarities, and shared experience of that anointing because you feel that the life path of the person carrying that anointing reflects the life path you want to become. Do you hear what I said? Let me take it in. To identify with an anointing means you have a sense, this belief, okay, this understanding, this orientation of you connecting to that anointing as a result of the similarities and shared experience. Because you feel that the pathway that the person is, who is anointed, the pathway the person has walked on,
you see yourself also going to walk on what? That pathway. The moment you notice that, all you do is that you connect what? You connect to that anointing by identifying with the anointing. Therefore, let's read the scripture. Wait, before I come to the therefore. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Listen to what Paul said about Timothy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Verse 20. For I have no one like-minded. Have you seen it? Sense of what? Similarities. Pathway. Like-minded. Who will sincerely care for what? You. Shared experience. So Paul was saying that Timothy is like-minded and also have the same compassion as he has. Let's continue. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But Timothy is not so. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, what did he do? You see here, what did he do? He served with me in the gospel. Identifying with anointing. So everybody, church history, everybody know that the person who carried Paul's anointing was who? Timothy. He identified with the anointing. Complete picture of the anointing. And how is this possible? The anointing you interact with is the anointing you receive. The very words of our father, Apostle Joseph Minta. The anointing you interact with is the anointing you ought you receive. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Are you being blessed? You must know these things. So Paul was giving the CV of Timothy to the church of the Philippians. He said, the guy is like me. He cares. He has the same identity. He identified with me. Why? The anointing you interact with. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, means they had no formal education, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. When they saw the boldness, see, it is only Jesus who can talk to them like that. You know, there's a point where somebody do something, said, this, no, are you coming from this place? Because it is only these people who can do this kind of thing. Have you ever, oh, you know what I'm talking about. In Ghana, yeah, there are some ethnic groups. The moment they react, they act. Then the first person, do you come from here? I say, okay, I understand. Why do you understand? Because you know that it is only, that is their identity. When they saw the boldness at which these people were talking, it was just as Jesus talking to them. But the thing is that these people are not schooled, unlearned. The anointing you interact with is the anointing you what? You receive. So if you interact with an anointing in other dimensions, how do we interact with an anointing? Number one, identify with an anointing is when you consistently stay in relationship with that anointing through teachings. Through what? Teachings. To interact with an anointing means that anointing teaches you. How is the teaching that? Number one, sitting under the ministration of that anointing. So as long as you keep sitting under the ministration of that anointing, you identify with that anointing and you are going to catch that anointing. Number two, listening to the audio messages. Don't think of catching Daddy Joe's anointing if you don't listen to his messages. And don't think of catching my anointing if you don't listen to my messages. So you see, you have been praying that you want to be anointed, but you don't know the things you need to do to catch anointing. Today I'm telling you. Oh, Pastor Dennis, is that not so? If you don't listen to that, just anointing and messages, why you don't interact with the anointing now? You can't sit 2.5 hours. You are complaining. Sit. That's what Daddy Joe, he'll teach you how to sit. One message, 3 hours. Now, if I want to punish some of you, I'll start getting the messages of his retreat. 5 hours. And I ask you to what? Summarize the message. That one, you take 3 days. Because every sentence is a revelation. So, but those of you are going to write the stewards exam, grace and peace be upon you. And mercy from the Lord. Yes, it is by soul that you catch that anointing. The anointing upon our Father, you catch it. Yes. Number three, watching videos of his ministration. Now you find out that Bishop Dark has spoke about this pact of catching the anointing, that he caught the anointing upon the life of Kenneth Hagin by this system. He identified with the anointing by listening to his messages, watching his videos. Third, how many have I given you? Three, right? Last one. Reading the books of the man of God. When you keep doing this, you see that at a point, the anointing will rub on you. You will catch the potential, the seed, you catch it. And you see, some of you, God will compel you to do this. Because if you can catch it. Are you with me? So the way we identify with anointing is when we build relationship with anointing through teaching. And this teaching is done towards sitting under the ministration of the person, listening to his audio messages, studying his books, watching his video ministrations. Consistently, it will rub on you. Look for a man of God that you are interested in his anointing. You feel led to be in his path. The moment you identify it, don't stop. And you see that, we are product of many anointings. Yeah. I remember I started my own with Reverend Isuda Namba. It was like I was mad. Is Reverend Isuda or nobody else? Message. Even now, I still have about over 50 messages of him on my laptop. And we will listen. Keep listening. Then he moved to Archbishop Duncan Williams. Then Bishop Dark. Eish! Makane. And I was so lucky that my roommate was an elder in Lighthouse. So, Richard, you know that Makane, they don't give it out. But I got hold of it. The messages over the hot. Books of Bishop Dark. So if you come, you see my library. Online library. Those people have followed. Kill, you see their messages. Then in 2015, 2016, Apostle John C. Suleiman. Oh, we started. And aside this one, the consistent one is Daddy Joe till now. As for that, we are not done catching. There's a lot to catch. So we are still catching. Hallelujah. Yes. So you see that consistency, listening, reading. Kenneth Hagin and one of the men of God have really studied his materials is Watchman Nee. Unless I'll find it, and his materials are books. Watchman Nee. Every material I have with me, I mean machine, gadgets, has at least Watchman Nee books on it. my phone, my tablet, anywhere, my laptop is there. Because he's one of the people I really, really study. So she tell the kind of anointing I want to catch. Teaching anointing. Last one. Then we will close. We will continue, God willing, next week. Third one, true association. If you want to catch the anointing, associate with the anointing. Now, this is where corporate anointing comes in. I'm going to talk about corporate anointing. By the principles of corporate anointing, you can catch an empowerment of God that rests upon a house you belong to. Corporate anointing. That's how it works. There is power that is upon every household. There's an expression of God upon every household. And if you want to understand it, you see it in the blessings of Jacob or Israel upon his sons. He blessed all of them. And you see that those were empowerment, anointing upon their lives. So you see, Judah, the tribe of Judah were meant to produce kings. And they are kings. And one of the successful kings in Israel is from Judah. Look into scriptures. Very well. So you see that priesthood was so common, being effective in priesthood was so common with the tribe of Levi. There's an expression of God's grace, an anointing, empowerment that falls on you because you belong to the household. So if you belong to this household, Touch World Ministries International, there is an anointing upon this household that you have got. It's a seed. That one is by association. So when you stay at a place for long, you are planted at a place, you stay at a place for long, you catch the anointing. Now, if you don't know how dangerous this association anointing is, let me tell you. Not that every ministry of you, ministry of anybody, is the overflow of the gifts and then the impartation of God that rests upon the house they belong to. Every ministry, everybody, if you're going to enter into ministry, it comes from the overflow, of the overflow and the impartation of God that rests upon the house you belong. And it is always captured in the set man of the house. So all of us here, our ministry is the overflow of what rests upon Daddy Joe, if you like it or not. So if you don't have a place you belong, then it means that you will not have a ministry life. Because your ministry life is the overflow of the grace upon the house, which is represented or captured in the set man. So by association, you find out that most of us, you see that how we are so exposed to youth ministries. How many of you have noticed that? Teaching, healing, deliverance, breakthrough. It's because it is the grace upon. So you see that Daddy Joe talks about many encounters he has received, many forms of anointing. He said that some of the anointings, he doesn't need them. But because we need it, he has to what? Catch it. You don't have a ministry life if it's not flowing from the set man, the overflow over the household. So you see that when David killed the giant, all his men who were connected to him from Judah, and do you know the funny thing? Nobody in Israel who did not belong to the Judah tribe killed the giant. Check the Bible. So when David, the first man anointed to kill giants, slay the first giant from Judah, the rest, he started slaying giants. So anointing can be caught. So where do you belong? Stop moving from house to house. Stay at one place. Find a place that you are connected to. Out of that place, your ministry will be better out. That's why you see that it will start from the church. You'll be doing something in the church, and then you grow in it, then you now take you out of the church. Any expression of everybody starts from the church. Even most of the secular artists. And we'll go in the secular. You don't know. Should we give you some of the examples? In Ghana here, we all know Kwame Eugene, right? How many of you know of Ofori Amponsa? You know all these guys started from church. Most of the people you see what they are doing outside there, it is birthed out from the house they belong. When you go to a church like Action Chapel, nobody will tell you when you see them what they do. You know, this is from Archbishop. When you go to a church like ICGC, you see leadership, you see those kind of things, corporate leader. It's because of the set man, the overflow over there. Is it Bishop Oyedepo? Check all his pastors. Prosperity. Are you following me? So anything you see operating the life of Daddy Joe, you have a share. If you are serious, you will flow. But don't run away when you see the thing is you catch it as a potential, it's a seed. That's why I'm using the word impartation. It comes to you as a seed. You need to work on it. So this is how we catch an anointing. When we associate with it, when we identify with it, when we serve the anointing. God willing, next week, we will continue with the rest of the ways we can catch an anointing. And please, let me repeat this. If you mean to live a kingdom life, and you are really serious, that your life will be an expression of the kingdom, then your absolute dependency on God cannot be without anointing. And if you need access to the anointing, the transmitters are human beings. And if you want to access it from the transmitters, then you should either be serving that transmitter, identify the transmitter, or associate with it. For today, at least this thread is enough for you to catch an anointing. I want to lift up our voice in prayer. Father, help us to absolutely depend on you. The reason why we are not hungry for anointing our generation is because we have other means to do things. We have other means, other ways we think we can do things. But we do not absolutely rely on God. But the prophet said, Zerubbabel, it is not by might, it's not by power. And the most dangerous part of that scripture says that the hands that started this. Sometimes the evidence that this thing was not of God is because it doesn't end. It means it didn't start with God. It means it was not God's power. But I want to pray that, Lord, starting from today, that business I want to start, show me where to tap that anointing. Oh, show me now where to tap that anointing. Where to tap that anointing. Show me, Lord. Let me not do anything without your power. And always show me where to access that power. We release the power through prayer and fasting. But the access is men. You can fast and pray and you will not get hold of it. But when you get hold of it, by prayer, by word, by fasting, you are able to release that anointing. But access, the Holy Spirit is the source. The transmitters are human beings. Lift up your voice and pray that, Lord, let me not be too proud. Let me not be too proud to serve. Men like Bishop James are serve people who they could call their student. Bishop James are taught Archbishop Duncan Williams in a Bible school. And still God asked him to come and serve him. And he came and served him faithfully. We are too proud. This generation, we are too proud. Because we don't understand how the principles of the anointing works. And that is why our life is so dry. Our heads are dry. There's no anointing. Because we serve no one. We serve no man. I pray for you. Come on. Let not pride say, who is this small boy? Who is this person? Why should I be serving this person? Why should I be bowing to this person? We don't know that at that service, that is where the anointing will be rubbed on you. We don't belong to any group. We don't have a mother church. We don't have any church we fellowship it. You are an island. You are just roaming. You are like a demon. So which anointing are you by association? Which anointing? Where is your ministry? See, any ministry that is not bed, that cannot be traced to a house. It's a suspicious ministry. I said this with all authority. If your ministry cannot be traced to a house, which house? Give birth to that ministry. Because the overflow of the gifts and impartations of God upon a household resting upon the set man is your ministry. That's where it flows from. Which ministry are you? Where do you get that ministry from? You are a suspect. It's only the devil who walks alone. Who works alone? Oh God, help us to stay. Be planted. Find our place of planting and stay connected. That our ministries will come forth through association. Because that is where the impartations will flow from. Mandela Mama Sukapa. Who do you listen to? How many times do you spend? How many hours do you spend listening to messages, sitting under the administration of a man of God? You want to catch the anointing? Then you have to identify with the anointing. You need to sit, read materials. That is where you tap the power. Read. For these words I speak to you, Jesus said it, they are spirit and life. That is where the life comes from. Hamalakasaya. Oromomomomomomomo. Vendolomokosaya. Lavandi lakabado sete. God is working on some of us as we are praying now. God is directing us where to serve, who to serve, and how to serve them. I said there's an anointing coming. Oh, help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I said the anointing you serve is the anointing you are going to receive. We have heard the names of men like Kolanda, but we didn't know that that man served Renard Bonnke. He served him true and true. And when the man was about living the sin, the anointing came upon him. These are living men who are expressing the anointing that was upon the life of other people. I said prayer, fasting, the word enhances the anointing and helps you to release it. But men are the transmitters of that anointing. The Holy Spirit will not come with a new anointing for you. They are already resting on the heads of men. Serve your way through and catch it. Serve your way through. Catch the anointing. Receive it and walk in it. Serve your way through. Serve. Belong to a house. Be identified. Associate with anointing. Shende melebe kavasao. We will not be people with dry heads. I refuse that for you. I said you must be anointed that whatever you start, you accomplish it. There are many mountains. There are many mountains. I tell you, the mountain of finance, the mountain of commerce has rise. The mountain of politics, all kinds of mountains are rising. But the Bible said, what art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? It is because it is not by his might, it is not by his power. Absolute dependency on God and on the power of God. I don't know what mountain that is before you, but if that power backing what you are doing is the power of God, then that mountain will come flat. Your hand will accomplish what you have started. But it is on when it is an outsource of the anointing, and that one is transmitted by men. God is working on you. That laziness is going. We are not available to be used because we think that they are taking advantage of us. Who told you? If you serve a man of God, know that you will surely get something. So the Bible says, he that gives unto the prophets shall receive the blessings of the prophet. And he that gives unto the righteous. There's an anointing coming. That anointing that's coming upon is already on the heads of men. Raising of dead, healing the blind. Oh, that favor anointing. Anointing for leadership. All those anointing is on the heads of men. I pray that God will open your eyes, that you serve your way through, you identify with those anointing and you associate with it, and that it will rub on you. And where does rub on you? Now through the word, through discipline, through prayer and through service, you can be able to walk in that anointing, and then people will say that you have caught that anointing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.